Are you a beautypreneur seeking for your next breakthrough? Then this podcast is made just for you. The Grace, Grit, and Glow podcast will help you navigate through life, family, and the world of entrepreneurship. Listen to each episode and unravel your inner strength, your brilliant mind, and your complete sense of beauty. And now, here's your host, the ultimate beautypreneur, Nikki Tang.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another insightful episode of Grace, Grit, and Glow. And this would center on how well you know yourself. Supposedly, we should be the first ones to really know ourselves, right? But, fortunately for some, they don't know themselves. What their strengths and weaknesses are, what motivates them, or what is important to them. Nikki Tang here, inviting you to listen to the very end of this episode to help you achieve the highest level of happiness and positivity. In this episode, we'll explore together what self-awareness truly means, how to tell if you're self-aware, and best of all, how to get a true understanding of self-awareness. When we focus our attention on ourselves, we become self-conscious as objective evaluators of ourselves. For instance, you may have feelings of dissatisfaction in your current role because you realize that your passion for creativity is not given an opportunity to exercise that passion. That dissatisfaction could lead you to pursue other creative outlets, changing your behavior to fit your standards. Here, you are self-aware of your capabilities and choose to explore new horizons to satisfy your creative self. However, if you're not self-aware, you will continue to be in a role that does not motivate you, you allow yourself to get along with the flow, and you will not have the courage to go outside of the box. Research says that when we see ourselves clearly, we are more confident and more creative. What does it mean to be self-aware? For psychologists, the meaning of self-awareness is this. Self-awareness is the ability to focus on yourself and how your actions, thoughts, or emotions do or don't align with your internal standards. Quite deep, right? Simply put, if awareness is about noticing stuff around in your environment, self-awareness is about focusing your awareness on yourself. In short, it is paying attention to yourself. It is your ability to notice your feelings, your physical sensations, your reactions, your habits, your behaviors, and your thoughts. You're aware of all those different aspects of yourself as if you were another person observing you. Paying attention to your intuition is another way of self-awareness. You are paying attention to your sixth sense or your gut feeling. That means you know yourself very well and are able to trust yourself with whatever instinctive feeling you may have about what is happening around and with people around you. Another way of understanding self-awareness is being honest with yourself, to be able to accept your limitations. Self-awareness is about focusing on the reality of your behavior and not on the story you tell yourself about yourself. Do you know someone who will notice the physical details and movements of all people, even strangers? As for me, I know that I am more aware of people whom I know or spark my curiosity. In this context, let me expound on the two categories of self-awareness. The psychologist and researcher who came up with the two categories of self-awareness is Tasha Urich. And I think it is important to understand why there are two categories. The first category is internal self-awareness. It is about how well your values, passions, and aspirations match your environment and your reactions. Those include thoughts, feelings, behaviors, strengths, and weaknesses. For example, someone realizing that his or current job does not match their passion for sales and marketing. Another one is when you get involved in a heated argument which you don't want to be involved with in the first place because it runs contrary to your belief that things can be resolved with good communication. The second category is external self-awareness. It is the ability to clearly see how other people perceive you. People who understand other people's perspectives are typically more empathic. For example, a leader recognizes the employee's reaction became personal when the feedback was given, or a disheartened employee after receiving an email from you. Self-awareness, then, is a fundamental tool for self-control. When you are truly aware of yourself, your reactions are controlled by what you know about yourself. For example, when an employee is really getting into your nerves and you know that you have a propensity for being hot-tempered, but because you are self-aware, you will know what action to take. You won't meet that employee head-on because you know there will be a clash of emotions. So how do you use self-awareness to control yourself? Have you heard about the 90-second rule? This theory is based on the 90-second chemical reaction of emotions, which explains how emotions happen and are built up. As humans, we are triggered by several shifts of emotions that activate chemical changes within our body, which puts us into responding either on the fight, flight, or freeze mode. In order for these chemical reactions to be flushed out of our system, we need 90 seconds. We are able to recognize red flags within this 90-second time frame, especially when we are about to go into fight mode. In an earlier example about an employee getting to your nerves, you need to count from 1 to 90 in the cadence of seconds in order to flush the chemical reaction of wanting to confront that employee. Within this 90-second window, you will be able to recognize your red flags, feel the physiological changes in your body, and observe as chemicals build or fade. After 90 seconds, the initial chemical reaction is over. It takes self-awareness to be able to feel the physiological changes in your body. According to the theory of constructed emotions, we are responsible for emotional self-awareness and regulation within this 90-second window. Knowing our triggers, refining our self-awareness, and regulating them is the path to take ownership of our emotions. Don't let your triggers control you. Keep them in mind as you go about with your day, whether at work, in traffic, at home, or anywhere else. How do you like this episode so far? Your comments or your takeaways are welcome, and I will appreciate it very much if you can provide to me your 2 cents worth on the topic. You can put in your comments below, or you can message me directly on my Facebook group page, Beauty and Beyond page. If you haven't joined my community yet, I will provide the link for you to join the community in the show notes. Also, if you think this episode will be helpful to someone you know, please share it with them. This helps me spread my message and share resources with more people. Once you've somehow made an effort to be self-aware, you will probably ponder how you can get better at it. There are several ways to improve and cultivate self-awareness, but for me, here are my 4 biggest strategies to start you off to become more self-aware. First, ask what instead of why. When people assess their current state, emotions, and environment, they also often ask why, like, why am I feeling agitated? Why did my manager give me that feedback? Why isn't my project going the way I wanted it to be? Asking why isn't effective. Odds are, you're wrong about why you act, do, or think about certain things. For instance, you got harsh feedback from a boss and you became disheartened. But the rationale of the feedback is because you're not cut out for the job. It's hard for you to unbiasedly evaluate your strengths and weaknesses and come to a correct conclusion if the question you ask starts with a why. When you're self-aware, your question starts with what? Like, what can I do about it? Or, what was the basis of that feedback? Then, all other options will come to you to come up with a decision. Another instance could be losing your temper at your employee. Instead of asking yourself, why did you do that? Change your question to, what triggered that reaction to my employee? Answers can be because you have low blood sugar, you lack sleep, or, as in the first example, the employee was not fit for the job. It does not mean you are an unfit leader for losing your temper. Second, spend time with yourself. It's not easy to reflect on yourself when you've got the TV on, or you're glued to your phone, or maybe don't practice self-care. Give yourself the space and time necessary to self-reflect by avoiding distractions. Try spending time reading, writing, meditating, or practicing other solo activities to connect with yourself. Journaling can do a lot of wonders in knowing yourself more. Try to give yourself 30 quiet, distraction-free minutes a day. I guarantee this works. Third, practice mindfulness. Mindfulness allows you to be present with yourself and observe your thoughts in a non-judgmental way. What better way to become self-aware than focusing non-judgmentally on you, isn't it? Mindfulness forces you to focus on yourself on purpose in the present moment. A leader gets more results when being mindful. Entrepreneurs and leaders must be mindful in order to make decisions that will enhance harmonious relationships with their employees, business partners, their clients, and even with competitors. A true leader embeds themselves at the core of the organization and surround themselves with the people with whom they work. So, next time you're feeling frustrated at work, use mindfulness to check in with yourself. What thoughts are going through your mind? How are you feeling? Simply being present enough to acknowledge your thoughts, feelings, and emotions will help you become more acquainted and better recognizing them properly within yourself. And lastly, become a better listener and be thankful for feedback. You will become more empathetic and understand people better if you learn how to listen to your friends, colleagues, and managers without being judgmental. Listening, by the way, isn't the same as hearing. Like mindfulness, the practice of listening takes purpose and control. Listening to the important people in your life should give you a true sense of how they perceive you. You can translate those listening skills to yourself too. Listen to your gut feel, your intuition, and step out of your negative self-thoughts. When you hear someone telling you, "Are you even listening to yourself?" it is asking you to listen to yourself with emphasis. In listening to yourself, you learn and grow in that place of awareness with profound positive impacts on our mental and physical well-being. Additionally, it's important to ask for feedback from the people you work with or lead. Unless you gain different perspectives on who you are, you can't have true, complete self-awareness. The more perspectives you have about yourself from others through feedback, the more clearly you will see who you really are. Self-awareness is a never-ending skill to master. It takes practice to become good at it. The more you know about yourself, the easier it will be to adjust to life's challenges and changes. When we have a better understanding of ourselves, we're able to experience ourselves as unique and separate individuals. Identifying our strengths and areas where we can improve empowers us to make changes and build on them. Self-awareness is often the first step to setting goals. You can use it to create achievable goals by considering your strengths, weaknesses, and what drives you. It is your guide down the right path by choosing to pursue the opportunities that best fit your skill set, preferences, and tendencies. It makes it easier to identify situations and people that hit our triggers, enabling us to anticipate our own reactions. It allows us to make positive behavioral changes that can lead to greater personal and interpersonal success, which is a trait needed to become a good leader. I hope that what I have discussed with you today will help you know yourself better, to be able to use the right reactions and decisions with caution, with self-control. To close, let me leave you with a simple quote from Drew Gerald as I quote, "Look outside and you will see yourself. Look inside and you will find yourself." Finding yourself is the basis for any self-improvement. Stay positive, you all. Lots of love, Nikki. That's all for today. I really appreciate your time as you tune into this episode of the Grace, Grit, and Glow podcast. If you were inspired by what you have just listened to, don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. Since you've gone this far, I'm also inviting you to join my Facebook group, Beauty and Beyond. Just click on the link in the show notes below and connect with like-minded entrepreneurs across the globe. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to listen to upcoming episodes. Until next time,